It's fixed. Yay.
Yay.
And on that day, Crash was able to fix the thing that he broke.
And it was glorious.
And welcome once again to Circulus, a homebrew D&D campaign. We're doing 5th edition. My name is Crash. Insert catchphrase here. I don't have one now. However, I am joined by a bunch of awesome people, including Chris. Chris, who are you playing?
I am playing Vexaron Silvor, the Half-Elf Ranger.
And where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Akari_Mag or on my podcast, which is Azeroth Coast to Coast. Our website is azerothctc.com.
And we also have Tom. Tom, who are you playing?
Honkaram Darkstone, the Kingpin of Coomeridge.
For now. Until old Bob comes home. Yeah, I haven't told you what his CR is. But where can we find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at Bolthra. That's B-O-L-T-H-R-A.
And we also have Jen. Jen, who are you playing and where can we find you?
I am playing Meepo Chipped Claw, a kobold sorcerer. And you can find me on my website, which is called Book of Jen and is at bookofjen.net.
We also have Matt. Matt, who are you playing?
I am playing Aristobulus Ravenscroft, human wizard, and you can find me in my living room.
I hope not, because that would mean you gave your address out. But never mind about that. We also have Logan. Logan, who are you playing?
I'm playing Fenix, a dragonborn paladin, and I am the wagon crusher of Coomeridge.
Yes, and there's a lot of people who are very disappointed in you for that. I think it's awesome personally, but, you know, some NPCs are reacting differently. And we will also have Eric come on later to play Obame, a dwarf cleric. You can find him on Twitter at Synergy with no E, because vowels cost more money. Synergy 007, or on his website, vote the number 2 and the word kick, votetokick.com. And apparently he's got a new podcast coming out there, but it's not up yet. So, oh well. Let's get right into this with a very brief recap. On a quest to get another of these elemental foci that will allow people to go back to Faerûm, Fiddlepunch has teleported you to this strange location at the bottom of a mountain cliff with a tower with a skull on top, and there's lava, and an overly dramatic wizard named Fred, who has been taunting you on every level with a variety of traps and whatnot. You did manage to walk down a Willy Wonka hallway, mostly unscathed. You managed to put on a performance with varying degrees of success. Are you ready for your next trial?
Bring it on.
Yes.
Okay.
Meepo is ready to play more games and have more fun. This is all just so much fun for her.
All right. So you go up to the next floor. This room is noticeably warmer than the floors below. You assume that is because of how close you are to the lava that you could see from outside. The center of the room contains a single obsidian pedestal. A sapphire is embedded in the front of the circular surface at its top. Fred appears again, this time sitting in a comfortably upholstered chair and toasting you with a half-full wine glass. Impressive, interlopers! Survive a few more levels, and I might even decide you are worthy enough for me to deal with you personally. However, I, Fred the Merciless, am not without mercy. Wait, that's not right. Blast it all. I'll rework that later. In any case, I am willing to unlock the door to the next level. In addition to letting you pass, you shall receive a gift proportional to how dearly you value the item that you've placed on this pedestal. Choose wisely, for you might need your reward to survive the level above. And then he vanishes.
Interesting.
I hate this guy.
Join the club.
I would like to rage. He really does not like that guy.
I didn't make him to be likable. So you are in a room. It's still 50 feet in diameter, like all the levels you've been in before. There is this obsidian pedestal in the middle of it. Like I said, with a sapphire, it, from what you gathered, Fred was suggesting that you place something on the pedestal to unlock the door on the other side.
I'm thinking a Raiders of the Lost Ark. Got to put one thing there to replace it with another. I don't know.
Well, right now there's nothing on the pedestal at all.
Oh, I thought there was a sapphire.
There's a sapphire embedded in the front of the pedestal.
Oh, okay. Then we steal the sapphire. So.
I'm more thinking we have to give up something valuable.
I don't have anything of value.
Shepard.
I swear to God, I will put an arrow through your eagle.
Roll initiative.
I will put an arrow through your eagle's eyes right now without blinking.
If that leads to combat, just imagine the scene from Star Wars Return of the Jedi when Emperor Palpatine is laughing like crazy. As Luke and Vader cross lightsabers.
Yep.
What the way he said it. The way he said it. You put something on the pedestal.
What did we find down on the? There was a guy with the spikes. He had something magical because it was on.
Yeah.
He had a pair of gauntlets. You kept the hands inside the gauntlets, as I remember. But you looted those, and you also looted a great axe.
Yeah.
Okay.
An okay axe, not a mediocre axe. This is a great axe.
Great axe.
We could try putting the axe on there and see what happens. Although I had a feeling he was just a random explorer, you know.
Yeah, but if it's a magical item, which it tries, it still would have value.
Yeah, my worry is it's not financial value.
It's something you love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Sentimental value. I swear to God, Logan, one more time, and an arrow goes through that bird.
While you're debating what to put on it, Justice flies over and sits on top of the pedestal, and nothing happens.
Oh!
Justice pecks out a little bit, then flies back to Fenix's shoulder and sits there again.
Okay. I can open up that magical portal thingy and take out the great axe.
Try it.
And
the great that weapon really doesn't have much use to any of us.
Yeah.
No.
It's not really a weapon for Ponk.
Yeah.
Fenix could hold it and utilize it, but isn't he a sword and board man?
He'd lose his shield.
Yeah.
Not only that, the great axe, because of its size differential between the axe and a gnome, he'd be wielding it with disadvantage on every strike.
Right.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Definitely not.
No interest in using it, so. Can we check the floor before I walk over there?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and give that a once over. Okay. All right, 17 plus investigation of 7 is 24.
It is definitely a floor.
Okay.
You do not see anything unusual about the floor. It is the floorest floor you've ever seen.
Looks safe to walk on.
Can we check the... Yeah, check the pedestal.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll probably have to get closer to that.
Okay, well, if you want to investigate the pedestal, go ahead.
Yeah. Let's rock up and do
that. Everyone who wants to investigate the pedestal, give me an investigation roll.
That was lower, but still a 17.
5.
I've 19. Got a 19.
Sorry.
19.
Plus 2. I have 19 plus 2.
We done good.
Yeah, we done very good.
Out of 5.
Okay, you know what? When you're investigating the pedestal, you think you see an engraving on the top of it that looks like a wagon.
Now I like this place.
Is there any writing on the pedestal?
There is no writing on the pedestal. You, however, see an engraving on the top that looks like a portal to another world. You think? You see some buildings that you recognize from your hometown on the other side.
Oh, I know what this is.
Just an illusion.
Let's put the ruby slippers up there and see what happens.
let's continue though. Punk, you see a big pile of money.
Is there blood on the money?
You can't tell. It's an engraving.
Okay.
Meepo sees a shiny.
Yay.
Ari sees a big pile of books.
You see what you want to see.
Yeah. Obane doesn't tell you what he sees.
Something holy.
What do I see?
Or unholy.
I told you, a wagon.
Wagon, yeah. You're seeing what your heart desires, probably. Oh,
I don't even care what my heart desires. I'm going out. No. I'm going to stand still.
I will go over and put the axe on it.
Okay. You put the axe on it. Fred reappears. He's facing the same way he was facing before, so he's now behind you. But he's just like, I forgot to tell you. It has to be a non-magical item. Magical items, the magic between the items and the work that's done in here, it doesn't mesh well. It crosses the streams, and no one wants that. There's too many marshmallows that get involved.
Too late.
Never mind. Bye.
We know it's a magical item now. Good call, Matt.
Put the gauntlets on it.
The gauntlets are probably magical, too.
All right. Yeah, we'll take the axe
at least.
And put the...
Here's a kind of a prior question that may or may not be of use. Spell books, would they be considered a magical item in this?
That's not a bad idea.
Cloak of Bellowing, that's a magical item, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. It's a common magical item, but it is magical.
But I think it has to be something that's like dear to you.
Right. And the spell book of the dead wizard is dear to Ari because it has knowledge he can't yet scribe out of it. But if it's considered a normal item, I would be willing to give that up. But if it's a magical item, then we're not going anywhere with that. So
far as Ari is concerned, with how much he knows about Arcana, he would consider them to be magical.
Okay, that's what I want to know.
You want to do that?
I put my longbow on the pedestal.
There you go.
Okay, you put your longbow on the pedestal, and the pedestal moves.
Where?
Does it rotate or does it change?
It rotates and extends in all directions. You might wish to back up.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yep.
And it shoots out little pseudopods that go up and bend around and change color. And suddenly in front of you is a large covered wagon.
Go to it. Do it, Fenix. Go get it, boy.
Merry Christmas. Go get him, Ray.
Is it real?
There's stuff in my backstory with that bow.
But you don't see your bow anymore. It's just this giant wagon. Now, I was messing with my headset. Fenix, did you give me a wisdom check?
Yeah, I rolled a 7.
This wagon looks very real to you.
Oh. Conestoga Mark X.
Fresh from the Oregon Trail.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Now dysentery free.
How close is it to us?
It depends on how far you backed up. I would say you're all within 5 feet of it.
Can I touch it?
I don't know. Can you?
I have a great club in my inventory.
Okay.
Can I chuck the great club at it?
That would be definitely an improvised weapon attack because great clubs aren't meant to be thrown. But yeah, I'd let you do a roll for that. It would have to be at disadvantage because it's not meant to be thrown. Just give me a 2d20 rolls and tell me the lowest one.
8.
That's high enough to hit a giant wagon 5 feet away from you, I would say. Okay, so the Great Club hits the wagon. The wagon's a mimic.
One of these days he won't be kidding about that. That's the thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Today's that day. Rolling up.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, no. I did a smart thing.
Yeah, because if you reached out and touched it, it would have stuck your hand to it. And remember, the app that I'm using adds the modifiers in already. So you just have to give me the dice roll.
Okay, 13.
Fenix.
16.
Meepo.
5.
Obame is not here. I have to roll for him. He got a 5. Punk.
15.
Go team cleric.
Shepherd.
11 plus 3 for Shepherd.
And Vex.
15 plus 3.
The mimics are going first.
Plural?
Well.
Or possessive? We're going to find out the hard way.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Have you seen, I'm sure you have, the Harry Potter movies where Hagrid goes, shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have said that. Here comes a friend for Fenix. What's your AC?
18.
All right. That's a miss. That's a miss. 3 pseudopods fly out from this wagon that is quickly deflating and sort of splitting off in different directions. But you are able to dodge out of the way as you are getting ready to draw your longsword, I'm assuming.
Oh, I wish this thing was my pet.
It's not tameable.
It's not housebroken either.
However, Vex, you're up.
My advice, shoot it.
With shoot ball, it before I have no longbow.
He doesn't have a bow.
A ranger with no bow. I will Hunter's Mark it.
The Hunter's Mark is only affecting 1/3 of it.
That's fine. And I will use my +1 scimitar. Take 2 swings.
Okie doke.
It's already went into combat, yes?
Oh yeah, it already took 3 swings at Fenix.
So I lose advantage.
That's first. A hit.
Natural 1 on the second, so the second doesn't hit. 11 points of slashing damage.
Give me a dexterity check.
19.
Okay. The scimitar went in pretty well, but you had a bit of difficulty pulling it back out for your follow-through, but you managed to do that.
Okay.
Punk, your turn.
All right, so there are 3 pseudopods.
This wagon has split into 3 equally proportioned portions.
Okay.
So it's still one giant piece. It's just got 3 different initiative scores.
So far as story is concerned, it's one giant mimic. So far as game mechanics are concerned, I'm treating it as 3.
Gotcha.
Because what I'm thinking is I want to hit the mimic before it can start spitting out more stuff. If that makes sense.
Okay.
Or am I not understanding?
It's not spitting things out. It extrudes a pseudopod to hit you with it.
Okay. All right. Sorry, like I'm a visual. Okay. Sorry, I'm a visual person.
It's like a blob that's extending out little blob pseudopods.
Okay.
And right. Trying to bludgeon you with the pseudopods.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. That makes sense. I was thinking like there's like spheres flying around or something like that. Okay. So I was getting confused. So I guess I'm able to try to cut one of those things off, if I can do that. How close are they to the rest of the party, that if I start swinging away, am I going to hit somebody else, or am I able to?
Unless anyone in the party backs up more, you are all currently within 5 feet of it.
Okay. All right.
But you've got room to swing.
Okay. I'm going to use the scimitar to try to cut one of the pseudopods off then, I guess.
All right.
So let me roll here. Is it 21 hit?
Yep.
Okay, so 5 damage.
Okay. All right. Ari, you're up.
Okay. I would like to start off to make either an arcana check or a nature check of some kind to determine if this thing has any particular vulnerability or resistance to certain elemental effects, or he's got cold, fire, and acid damage he can do to these things. And I would like to see if there's one that would be particularly effective or ineffective against such items or such creatures.
Okay.
And I will roll the die, and I roll an 11. If it's arcana, it's a 21. If it's nature, it's an 18.
I would say more nature than arcana in this case. Mimics are not unknown in this world. Right. They're rare, but...
They're not inherently magical, per se.
Not really.
Okay. So we'll take the 18 nature check.
And that is still plenty high enough. You do know that these things will dissolve their prey, so they're immune to acid damage.
All right.
But you don't know of anything else that they're immune to. And they seem to be sliced up pretty well right now.
Okay. All right. So, fireball is a 20-foot radius, which means it's a 40-foot diameter. This room is 50 feet in diameter. If I throw one, is anybody going to get singed?
All of you. Okay, you are all within 5 feet of this thing.
Of this thing. Okay. Then we're going to try just a firebolt, and we'll see how well that works. And that is a crit. So, firebolt damage is 2d10 doubled. It's a 27 AC for the crit, so I'm sure that hits.
Oh, well, a crit would hit no matter what. Yeah. If the AC was 5,000, yeah, I would consider a 20 to hit.
All right. We got 9, 8, 5, and 4 on the dice, so that's 17, and 9 is 26.
And refresh my memory, that was a cantrip, wasn't it?
It was. I crit. Mm-hmm.
I love that. I love a cantrip that can do that much damage.
Yeah. It's 2d10 and I crit, so that's 4d10 dice.
Okay.
So that's a lot.
So, Vex, just so you know, the part of the mimic that you're facing off on seems to also currently be on fire.
Dead?
No.
No, just inflamed.
Yeah, but okay. It's inflamed, but it's going to take some ibuprofen and go to bed early and might be okay afterwards. We'll see. If it's not, it's going to call a doctor tomorrow.
The mimic is not inflammable.
Just checking for Hunter's Mark.
Oh, okay. That's fine. Fenix, your turn.
Which one's flamed?
The part that's closer to Vex is, at the very least, charred.
I'll hit that one.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
What'd you roll?
29?
You just barely hit it.
So give me some damage. 20?
Yeah.
You need to tell us that.
Yeah, because natural 20 means you roll twice as many die.
Oh.
So that was a 1d8 weapon, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So you're going to add the same bonus, but you're going to roll 2d8 instead of 1d8.
It's literally 20.
Fenix, I need you to roll a dexterity check.
15.
Okay, that's enough. You're able to pull your longsword back out again. Shepard's turn.
See, now I'm worried. Shepard's going to come up next to me and take a bite.
Takes a bite of the part that isn't on fire. Mm-hmm. Because he is a smart puppy.
And he's next to me, so he gets advantage. It's a natural 20.
What's with these natural 20s?
I'm okay with them.
He grabs on. I'm not even going to have you roll damage. Because there's no way he can't do lethal damage to this part at this time.
I want to know.
And he just grabs it and he shakes it and little globs of mimic fly everywhere.
But
this thing is... it is one-third less as large as it was before.
Gotta get me some of that. Save that for polymorph potions.
Obame's turn.
I feel like I'm Professor Slughorn.
All right, well, Obame...
if he has Sacred Flame, that would be the attack cantrip that he could use.
He does have Sacred Flame. This is what I get for not playing clerics outside of Neverwinter Online. In Neverwinter, everything is a cantrip because it doesn't use spell slots. So I will roll for the mimic. Oh, that is a 1.
But at this level, I believe he does 2d8 radiant damage to the creature.
You are correct.
I've played clerics, so I sort of know. I'm playing one now, in fact, in my tabletop game.
Wonderful. And I am playing someone else's character, so I'm unsure of everything.
Clerics are fun.
10 points of damage.
I'm half cleric, half bard. He's a riot.
War domain cleric for me, that's what I usually go.
So he basically sings canticles?
Something like that. Although they might be more of a lusty body tune.
We're going to table this conversation for later. because it is Meepo's turn.
Okay. So I have noticed that Firebolt seems to work pretty good. So I'm going to use Firebolt on whichever part of the mimic is not currently on fire.
Oh, that part is destroyed.
Okay, so one of the other ones then.
One of the other parts.
Yes. So what do I roll?
D20.
D20, okay, got it. That's a 15 on the dice.
That would be a hit.
Okay, so then it's a 2d10.
If you're at least fifth level, it's 2d10.
Yes. The character sheet says 2d10.
Probably it. Yeah. Okay. At this point, everyone in the party is fifth level. It wasn't always that way.
If you're using the one on D&D Beyond, I think it automatically scales your cantrips correctly. So.
Okay. So I've rolled one, and I'm rolling again. The second one is a 4.
Okay, so 5 points damage. It is noted. And now the mimic is going to attack. It's going to swing at Fenix again. That's going to be a miss. It's also going to swing at Vex. That is not a miss. Okay, Vex, I need a dexterity save from you. I'm sorry, not save. Check.
Natural one.
You know what? I missed reading something for the mimic. If you're trying to escape its grapple, you have to roll disadvantage. So I need you to roll that again to see if you get lower than a 1.
I will cut you.
You cut the mimic.
That's all you have because you don't have a bow.
Oh.
All right. Well, let's see.
Crash knows why that hurts.
You take 5. Not 5. You take 7 points damage from the bludgeoning of the pseudopod. Next turn, it might bite you.
I still feel like losing that bow is hurting more than the mimic could.
Well, you get to go next, so you can give me another roll trying to escape. Dexterity check at disadvantage.
Disadvantage? That's a 7.
You do not break free. Pong,
so
your turn.
I lose my
Okay, so Vex is now held by something?
Yeah, he's all wrapped up in something right now.
Okay.
He's stuck to it.
Because I'm thinking, how am I going to get him out of there? But if I... Could I try to cut through what's holding him to get him free?
You're going to cut me.
Imagine, if you will, a dark silly putty.
Okay.
Yeah, he's like glued to it.
Could I, are his arms free that I could try to like grab him and try to pull him out?
As soon as it hit him, it wrapped around.
I'm trying to think of a way to get you out of it. Then I will just backups. Did you say it had a mouth?
You don't see one.
Oh, okay.
Yet.
Okay. All right, then I'm gonna just keep hacking away at it then with the scimitar.
Okay.
So 18.
That would be a hit.
Alrighty.
Give me a dexterity check.
7.
Okay, so your scimitar is stuck, but you still get to roll damage normally.
Okay. 10.
Noted.
And I let go of the scimitar.
Okay. And, oh wait, you never raged, did you?
No, that's all right. I'll save it for the next one.
Okay.
Save it for Fred.
Yeah. I'm saving all my hate for him.
That sounds like a song from the 60s or something. But, Ari, your turn.
All right. Fex is stuck to a section.
Yes.
Ari is going to try to burn the section that Vex is not stuck to, simply because he wants to avoid burning Vex.
I hear he likes to cut people, so that's a good idea.
Yeah, it's 22.
Oh, that's a hit and a half. What's your damage?
Damage is 5 and 2 is 7.
Fenix's turn.
Are any of them like almost destroyed?
The part that's holding Vex looks worse off.
Pog stuck it with a sword. And I burned the other section.
You get the feeling that if you cut it enough, he might be able to break free.
I'll try, then. Alright, I'll hit the one that Vex is stuck to. Miss.
Okay.
So
how low was it? What was the number on the die?
Does 10 work? 1?
Yeah, that's a natural 1?
No.
Yep.
Give me a dex save.
Me?
No, Fenix.
Oh. I swear to God, I just rolled another 1.
I'm so sorry.
How much does he stop?
No!
That's 2 it's got trapped inside.
I need Fenix to roll damage.
1d8 plus your damage modifier.
That's 12.
This is interesting. Vex, you take 14 points of damage from that.
Okay.
Shepherd is up.
Okay, how are the two sections looking?
The one that's holding you is in worse shape.
Okay. Shepherd's going to go for a bite in it. And obviously Fenix is right there, so advantage. He won't get it from me, I'm useless right now. It's a lot, 23.
Okay. Also give me a dex check for the puppy.
He rolls good. Why can't I? Even with disadvantage, he rolls good.
Well, he's not grappled, so he's not rolling with disadvantage.
Oh, okay.
He's just rolling to avoid the grapple.
He would still pass it.
Okay.
He rolled a 17 naturally and then an 18 naturally.
Okay, give me some damage.
This dog is better than your ranger.
Dog's better than everyone. He's a team leader.
Yeah, because you just had 13 points of piercing.
This mimic is more than bloodied. It is Obame's turn. He's going to try to help you out. And that's another 1 for the save. I am rolling crits today.
We're rolling 1s and 20s. That's what tonight is.
Let me rename the episode.
1 or 20.
There are numbers in between, guys.
Blackjack the hard way.
But that is only 4 points of damage.
To me?
No. He's attacking the mimic.
Oh, okay.
No, you took damage from Fenix because he crit missed.
No, I thought he crit missed again with a 1.
No. The miss was the mimic's saving throw.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Meepo, you're up.
Okay. I want to cast Prestidigitation on the mimic that is holding Mr. Vex and hope that it will let him go. Like, clean it.
That's interesting.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so we're going to need to figure out...
Didn't think of that, did you?
No, and I...
Jen, I will kiss you.
I need to look something up. Hold on.
I've confused the DM.
No.
Confused
because
all of us.
I'm
great.
Yeah.
What's your spell saving throw is the question.
I don't know.
We are experiencing technical difficulties. Please move on.
As the kobold does something strange once again.
The player broke the DM again.
Yes.
It usually shows it. It usually shows it for your spells.
Prestidigitation doesn't normally have one.
Yeah,
that's why I'm having trouble finding it.
Look at one of our other spells.
Ari, you are a spellcasting expert. How do you determine a spell saving throw?
It is usually 8 plus your spellcasting modifier.
That would be 11.
Plus proficiency. So in Meepo's case, she's going to have a proficiency bonus of plus 3.
She's going to have 14. It's a roll of 14.
Okay. So yeah, then the DC for her would be 14. My recommendation, take this or leave it, Vex has disadvantage to escape the grabs, right?
Yes.
So you could allow him a normal action or normal chance to escape the grab with her assistance by using such a cantrip, if it is successful?
That would make sense, because Prestidigitation it's versatile, but it's a weak spell.
Exactly.
So, yeah. I like this idea. We're going to go with that. Because it failed its save.
Oh.
The mimic failed its save, but I don't see something this large being able to just be moved around by a spell. Not a cantrip anyway. So we're going to let that next roll be not at advantage, but normal.
Okay.
Because of your efforts. It is a mimic's turn. Okay, Vex. The pseudopod that's holding you up lifts up and angles. You are now upside down. And below you, you see a mouth with many teeth form underneath you.
Oh, no.
Oh.
This might hurt.
It might sting just a little bit.
Bring it on.
Especially since I just rolled a 17 on the die.
That's a hit.
I'm not adding a modifier. That, yeah.
Even without a modifier, that's a hit.
Okay, you take 7 points of piercing damage and 4 points of acid damage. And another pseudopod flies out and tries to hit Punk. And that's a wild miss. I rolled a 2. Vex, it's your turn.
Okay.
Okay, here's where I'm going to step in.
I'm going to dump my inspiration.
What, you're going to what?
I'm going to dump my inspiration to give me advantage on this break.
Ah, okay. Well, I was going to use my diviner ability to give you a free 17 on the roll.
You might want that later, though.
That's true. I'll let him take the advantage.
I'll dump my inspiration.
Okay. Good time to use it.
Natural 20.
Out of curiosity, I almost don't want to know. Was that your second roll or your first roll that got the 20?
I rolled both of them at the same time.
Okay, so we'll never know.
And it was an 11 and a natural 20.
All right, well, you break free. You feel a bit like He-Man. You don't know who that is. But you feel like that. You are no longer grappled.
I roll both at the same time so that I don't have the soul-crushing feeling that I wasted advantage.
There you go.
That's why I did that.
In the future, just as a house rule, I will allow you, if you roll poorly, you can then spend your inspiration point to roll again.
That seems fair.
So you can save it until the time that you need it. From here on out, anyway. But that was your action. It's Punk's turn.
Pseudopod that so rudely tried to hit me, I'm going to slash at it with the scimitar.
I thought your scimitar was stuck.
Oh, yeah. It's true. Then it will be the can opener, then.
Okay.
Good call. Does a 25 hit?
Yes.
All righty. I was just being a wise guy.
That all the time.
Let's see. 6 damage.
Okay, and don't forget your dexterity check.
5.
Your can opener is now stuck in the other mimic.
I will dive into its mouth and rip out its guts from the inside. I am not giving up the can opener. Then I will keep holding on to the can opener. So.
Okay, so you're holding on to this can opener. Your next turn, you can use an action to rip it free.
Okay.
If you make your check. Ari, you're up.
DM, right. Just so you're aware, I'm at 9 health. Maybe Obain might heal me a little bit.
I was thinking he would heal you, but you took all this damage after his last turn.
That is true. Alrighty. Fire seems to be doing well here, so I think we're going to stick with that. And we're going to now aim at the portion that Vex was recently freed from. And that is a 7 on the die, but I had 7 in my roll, so that's a 14.
That is a hit.
Alright. And damage is 5 and 7, 12.
Poof.
Second one down?
Yep.
All right. 2 down, 1 to go, fellas.
Oh, as a bonus action, can I move my Hunter's Mark to the other one?
You move it to the other one that Ari just killed.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that, but then my next...
I'm giving it to you. It's on the one that's still left. Yeah. Okay. Fenix.
One more piece.
All right, wait, is my sword still stuck?
Your sword was never stuck.
Oh, now
you made your dex checks each time that you swung with the sword. Except for when you hit Vex instead of the Mimic. And things don't stick to Vex as much.
No.
Sorry, Vex. Usually.
Although we fixed that problem. Vex is no longer stuck.
True.
That was for threatening... Okay, I'm going to attack the last one.
Someone made me to kill his bird.
And we'll kill you. Can I kill... I'm gonna attack the last part of the weapon.
Yeah, give me a die roll.
Wow, I rolled a 7, but got 16.
A 16 hits. Give me 1d8 plus whatever your damage modifier is.
14.
This thing isn't looking good, but it's not bloodied yet. Shepard's turn.
Okay. Shepard's going to take his bait, stand next to Phoenix. That is a 22 to hit.
And then some.
I'm guessing this thing can't be knocked prone.
No, it's immune to prone.
I figured as much.
Yeah, a lot of blobby things are.
13 points of piercing.
Okay, give me a dexterity check.
Natural 20.
More little globs of mimic fly everywhere.
Would you like me to take a picture of this one? Because I feel like the amount we've had tonight is just like...
The number of ones I've rolled doesn't leave me doubting the 20s that are being rolled, to be honest. I'm okay. If I didn't trust the rolls that the party is making, we wouldn't be playing in Discord. Let's put it that way. You are my friends. I trust you. It's the DM you shouldn't trust. Obame's turn. He is going to cast Guidance on Vex. No, wait.
I will cut you.
Okay, he is going to cast Cure Wounds, like I just said. Okay, well, it's not all bad. 13 points.
Yay! I'm no longer a pile of goop on the floor.
No, you're just fighting a pile of goop on the floor. Meepo, you're up.
Okay, so we have one portion of this mimic left.
Yes, correct. And it's
on
fire.
There's
not much of it left.
Okay. Is it on fire or is it not?
No.
I only did 12 points to it.
It's singed.
It's singed. Okay. Yeah. So I'm going to throw a fireball at it.
Okay.
So it's a 2d10.
You
have to roll damage first. I'm sorry.
Roll a hit.
Yeah, I had to roll something. Okay. I have rolled a 7. Did I miss?
It's based on your attack modifier, in which case it is your, again, it's charisma, in your case, it's charisma plus proficiency. So what's your charisma modifier plus 3?
That's a hit. I think that would add up to 13.
Okay.
Because your charisma modifier is 3 and your proficiency is 3.
So yeah, it's plus 6 to attack rolls for spells. So yeah, 13.
Okay, so you just hit, but you hit.
Okay.
Its AC, by the way, is 12.
Oh, okay. So do I roll?
Now you roll 2d10.
I roll a 2d10. Okay, yep. So there's a d10. I was actually rolling a d12, so that's not it. Because it came up 12, so that's right.
But the d12 was lonely.
Yes.
It's never used for anything.
Okay, I have a d10. All right. That one is a 9 and a 5.
You kill it.
Yay!
And as this last puddle of goo sort of just like bubbles and dissolves and dissipates and evaporates, you see the sapphire still sitting there on the ground. The scimitar is freed. The can opener has lost its patina. It's a lot shinier. It looks almost newer. But that's because the layer of grease and grime and rust that was on the outside of it has been dissolved away.
Ruined it.
Do you know how long it took to get that the way you liked it?
Exactly.
Years of negligence is what it took, really.
Neglect and decay.
I know. And
garage, we call it hard work.
And at the bottom of this pile of silly putty, there is a bow that is missing a string.
But it's a hair bow instead.
I pick up the bow. Is it the same bow?
It is your bow. It looks like some of the wood was absorbed a little bit, but the string was so thin that went away almost instantly.
Kayla's gonna kill me.
To be fair, you've replaced the string for that bow many times.
Yeah, but
it's not the
string
that makes the bow.
Not the wood. A little damage, but it's fine. Don't deal with it. She's gonna murder me, but it's fine.
You have revealed the wood's freshest layer. It is also missing its patina. And let's move on. Okay,
so have a bit of string. Taking the silence as new.
Don't have a string.
Okay.
I have sequined tights I'm wearing as a scarf. Can that work?
I don't think so, honey.
Okay.
I would give you an inspiration point if you didn't already have one for that remark. Because
you broke
Vex and you broke the DM with
yes.
that comment. That was good. That was good. Okay, so the only item that is left in this room that you didn't bring with you is that sapphire sitting in the middle of the floor.
Which I think we need for the next level.
Did the pedestal actually disappear?
The pedestal was the mimic.
Mimic, okay. That's what I figured. I wasn't 100% certain on that. All right. Mage hand the sapphire.
Okay.
Make sure that by moving it, nothing else untoward happens.
Nothing else untoward happens.
All right. And we will pocket that to deal with later.
Advance to the next level.
It is very shiny, by the way.
I will hand it to Meepo.
Yay! A shiny.
Don't lose it.
Okay. I put it in my bag, so it's not going to get lost.
Okay. At this point, we've been playing for about an hour, so shall we take a short break?
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Take five, refill your coffee. Hey, this is Crash stepping in for the intermission. Just real quick to thank you for listening to what should be our second to last recording session for the Skull is Lava arc. I thought this was going to be the last, but it looks like this is taking just a bit longer than I planned for. But that's okay because we're all having a lot of fun. I know I am having a ton of fun. I could not stop smiling during this session. It was so fun to do. I am so thrilled to be the DM for this. I'm so thrilled to have friends that want to play Dungeons & Dragons with me. And about that, several of them have websites. So, by all means, check out Chris's website. He has a podcast, AzerothCTC.com, Azeroth Coast to Coast. It's a Warcraft-themed podcast, so if you're into that, check that out. Jen has bookofjen.net. And that's more of a grab bag of all kinds of things. It includes gaming, it includes creative writing, it includes stories about creative writing, freelancing, all kinds of cool stuff there. She has a podcast on there also, but there's a lot of written stuff as well. And there is vote2kick.com, which is Eric's project, vote number two, then the word kick.com. And that was a podcast called Vote to Kick, but now he's starting a new podcast that at the time I'm recording this, it's not live yet. But hopefully by the time you listen to this, it will be. So I don't really want to spoil too much, but yeah, check that out. That's cool as well. And right before I wrap this up and get right back into the episode, just want to, again, thank you for listening and ask for your help. If you like this series, if you like this campaign setting, please share this with your friends. Rate us on iTunes, like us on YouTube, on Facebook, or wherever. I'm going to have links to all those various places in the show notes for this episode. It's my pinned tweet. If you're tweeting about this, use the hashtag CirculusDND and just, you know, share this with a friend. Have more people see it. See if they enjoy it. If they don't enjoy it, that's fine. But if they do enjoy it, you know, that'll help build the listener base. I'm not paying for any advertising. I'm a broke teacher. So thank you so much for listening and possibly sharing this with others. I think I have rambled on enough. Let's get right back into the episode already in progress.
Duel.
Okay, we're back. And we have defeated the mimic puzzle. Meepo pockets the sapphire, and you go over to the door to exit this room, and there is no handle on the door. There is, however, a small indentation where the handle should be, and it is shaped just like the sapphire.
Oh.
Sorry, Meepo.
So it's a key. Okay, it's a shiny key, and I reach up and try to put it. I don't know if I can reach it, though.
It's... You have to reach up a little bit, but it's not too high for you to reach. You can place it in just fine. And when you do, the door... Is the mimic? No. No, the door swings open normally.
Okay. So when the door is open, can I take the shiny back out?
You don't see the sapphire anymore.
Aww.
Oh. Also, while we're walking, can I do a second level cure wounds on myself?
Sure.
Yay.
Punk will open the door further for us all to go through.
Ooh, nice. 16 points of healing.
All right.
I'm up to 38 now.
Fantastic.
More than I got.
Okay, you go up to the next floor and open the door. This room has a now familiar door on the far end. Flanking it are four statues carved out of obsidian. To the left stand a dagger-wielding woman with goat horns protruding from her forehead, and what appears to be a scimitar-wielding fire elemental wearing armor. To the right of the door stand a giant of a man with a disproportionately large torso, dressed in full plate armor, with a greatsword propped casually on his shoulder, and a dragonborn wearing robes similar to Fred's, with his arms outstretched as if he was casting a spell. This room is otherwise empty except for pillars placed roughly every 10 feet. Fred appears again, but does not seem to notice you at first. He has a lather spread over part of his face, and he appears to be shaving himself in front of a mirror that you cannot see. Then he notices you, and he starts a bit, and he goes, pardon me, how embarrassing. With a wave of his hand, he prestidigitates the last of the shaving foam away. Forgive me, fools! You are certainly more skilled than I originally thought. Truly, I tell you, most of those who oppose me do not make it this far. Before you stands the toughest challenge yet! Before you stand four statues. One of them contains a gemstone needed to reach the next level. But which one? Choose wisely, or I shall have to summon another cleaning crew. Try to conveniently die all in the same spot to make their jobs easier, will you? They get overtime, you know. Union rules. I shall not be happy if my coffers are expended more than I originally budgeted. And then he vanishes again.
So one of them has a shiny.
I'm going to cut him.
Repeatedly.
Mm.
One of them has a shiny. Alright, so on one side we have the disproportionate man with the sword and a dragonborn casting a spell. And we have a fire elemental wielding a scimitar and a woman with a dagger.
A woman with a dagger. I should mention she's also wearing robes, but she is wielding a dagger.
The dragonborn is also wearing robes, but he appears to be arms raised, casting a spell.
Yes. Ari?
These are made out of obsidian, which is a valuable stone in and of itself.
Worth noting, Ari, you had trouble listening to the monologue.
Okay.
You heard a different voice.
Okay.
In your head.
Okay.
Beware. Beware, there is strong magic here.
Okay.
I can help you.
At what cost? That's his immediate thought reply.
No cost. It is mutual benefit. I do not wish to be owned by the master of this tower.
First one's always free.
Oh, hell no.
I would be kept in storage here. You are far more interesting.
I am certain. That does not mean you deserve to be free.
My life is servitude anyway. I would rather serve a more interesting master. Use me. I can help you.
We'll see. For now, let us see if I can escape this tower upon my own wit.
And this whole conversation goes on in your head.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, Ari distrusts the telepathic telepathic message. I distrust when I can't see its creature's body.
Give me an Arcana check.
Okay. All right, so that is a 17 on the die. That's going to go to 27.
You know where the voice is coming from.
Where, then?
Your cursed amulet.
Oh.
I was going to say it's your amulet.
Yeah.
The sentient item.
Yeah. Didn't... No, we... The amulet disappeared on us when we tried to do remove curse. So... then definitely Ari is going to resist or ignore the voice. He has no desire to give in to that temptation of power.
Okay. You don't get the sense that it's trying to force its will upon you at all.
Not yet. All right. So I will just kind of momentarily appear to be daydreaming. And
you're a crazy wizard person. Of course you're daydreaming.
Yeah.
And well, you're a noble, so.
Yeah, that's two strikes.
Yeah.
All right, so we got four statues made of obsidian, and one of them is supposed to contain a gem.
Yes.
All right, let's start with the floor. Anything funny on the floor? Runes of any kind? Ari will take a tentative step into the room.
The room is a mimic.
Statues. Huh?
No, the room is not a mimic. You're fine. For the record, Fred never appears until you are all in the room.
Okay. Ari will then begin to walk towards the four statues. How tall are they? Are they normal size, humans, a large size?
Well, the dragonborn and the woman with goat horns appear to be... normal size. It's a normal size dragonborn. Other than the horns, the woman looks normal. The fire elemental is quite large, but it's a fire elemental. So it would make sense for it to be huge. The oddly proportioned man wearing full plate is also huge. Matter of fact, you're not quite sure how... If this is just an obsidian statue, you're not quite sure how the legs can support the weight of the rest of the sculpture. And these do look like sculptures. You can see chisel marks on them.
Okay.
So. I'm thinking about, here's an idea. About one of them over and see what happens. What do you think? Maybe the oddly proportioned man first. Think if when it falls, would it break?
Possibly. The statue is solid obsidian.
My worry is if you pick the wrong one, he mentioned a cleanup crew.
Right.
Yeah, I know. Oh, yeah, something's going to happen. I'm just thinking eventually we're going to have to pick one.
I'm looking.
You pick the wrong statue, it opens up and there's candy inside.
Yay.
Pinata.
Meepo would be happy. You're not over sugar the kobold.
Oh my.
The candy is all root beer barrels.
Are there any other... basically, I want to check around the room. We have pillars around the room as well as these statues. All right. Anything unusual about the pillars? What are they made out of? Just simple granite?
The same volcanic rock that most of the tower is made of.
Okay. So nothing unusual about the pillars.
Other than a slight tapering as they go up, which would make sense structurally, there's nothing unusual about the pillars.
Okay.
The statues facing each other, or are they like they are,
it's like they're standing guard outside this door.
Okay, so they're like facing towards the door?
They're all facing the door you came in.
Okay.
But there are along the wall on the far side of the room.
Okay. I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So face odds are 1 in 4 that we pick the right statue. We want to see if there's any clues or anything that might give us the possibility of eliminating one of the statues or more of the statues.
Yeah.
Ari will then... I don't recall if I used my free detect magic today. I don't think I did. I didn't cross it off on my notes, so I'm going to say I did not.
Meepo used to detect magic,
right,
but you did
Ari
not.
Ari did not. Ari has, he can do it once a day without casting a spell slot, using a spell slot.
I will tell you right now, the entire castle, the entire tower is magical.
Yeah, I gathered that, but I want to look, he wants to look particularly at the statues to see if there's any, if we can get any clues as to which one, you know, right now 1 in 4 odds isn't bad, but it's not great. He's looking to find if there's any particular magical aura on them that might at least lean him one way or another. So far, from what we know about Fred, he seems to be skilled in illusion, possibly conjuration, and maybe some evocation. I don't know. We don't really know what he can do other than he seems to be very skilled, at least in projecting illusionary magic. So I want to basically Ari wants to at least start examining the statues to see if there's anything, any kind of clue on them that might indicate, you know, that they, we know we're looking for a gem. Is there anything that he might find, like, okay, is there a flaw in this one? Is there, like, did they have to chisel out the inside on that one to put it in there? Any kind of physical flaw?
Okay.
And I think I still want to do detect magic, but look at each statue individually. Since the spell will last a few minutes, I can at least examine one by one to determine if there's anything unique or special about there. Maybe at least get the school of magic that may or may not be around that statue, or maybe one of them doesn't have any aura of magic.
All right. So give me an Arcana check to go with your free detect magic of the day.
Okay. So that is a 17 again.
So a 27.
That's a third one for the night.
I'm remembering you have a plus 10 now. You do it enough. The magic that you're sensing in all of these statues is transmutation. They are all magical. And they, so far as magic is concerned, all appear to be identical.
Okay, so there's no differentiating between any of the auras. All right, let's start then. Let's do an investigation on each statue, looking for any kind of possible clues that might lead us to eliminate one. And that is a 13 plus 7 for 20.
You think that eeny, meeny, miny, moe might be a method that could work.
Okay, so there's nothing clear. I just wanted to at least see if there was any way we could tip the odds in our favor.
And it was a good thought. It was good investigative rolling, but in this case, you don't see any hidden clues that tell you which one to pick.
There's nothing. Okay. So we have no riddles other than one of them is holding a gem.
Yes.
Okay. So if we apply a little potential logic, spellcasters may use gems. Fire elementals, I believe there is a magical item that may summon elementals, and I believe it's a gem. So, we have the woman with horns who is clearly a tiefling and holding a dagger. We have the spellcaster of the dragonborn, and we have the fire elemental, and then we have the misshapen man. I don't recognize the misshapen man. Punk would like to test it out first to see if it breaks.
That's what I was thinking, is if we could, like, get behind it and just, like, shove it forward and see if it, knock it off a pedestal and see if...
Is that even possible? Can we get behind the statues? Are they flush?
There is space.
Okay.
There is space.
Yeah. And I'm Matter small. Of
fact, yeah, and you're small.
Punk, you think that if you sort of, like, got up a little bit, you know how you can push your legs against one surface and push your back against another surface?
That's what I was going
to
do.
You think this statue is top-heavy enough that you were able to get a leg up to above this thing's waist, you could probably push it over with enough of a strength check.
That's what I was thinking. And plus, it's top-heavy. That'll help.
Yeah, we have rope. Fenix, we could loop it around the neck of the statue and have Fenix pull while you push. Hopefully get it down even easier. Anyone else have any input?
I want to ask the dragonborn wizard-looking statue, do you have shiny? And I'm going to ask him in Draconic.
It's not a bad idea.
You do not get a response.
Oh, he doesn't hear me.
It does not move. It appears to be a statue.
Oh, well.
You never know.
I like that, though. I like the choices the party is making. I totally do. I cannot wait until you get a result.
We haven't gotten a result yet, really.
Well, that's not fair. You have gotten results. You have not gotten results that you wish to get.
Right.
But any result is a result.
Right. Well, no answer is still an answer. It's just not the one.
Exactly.
All right. So we're still at a one in four guessing correctly. The misshapen man, by Ari's logic, is probably the least likely. However, getting rid of him would then increase our odds of guessing correctly to 1 in 3. But as Fred indicated, guessing wrong would involve some sort of penalty. My guess is something will break out and attack us.
Yeah, and that's what I'm wondering is you know, I think from the other ones we can sort of guess what they do. He's the wild card. I don't know what he can do if we break him.
Yeah, he's got a sword over his shoulder, doesn't he?
Yeah, He's sort of casually just holding it over his shoulder, like he could just lower his arm and bring it down and cut someone in half with it if he felt like it.
Right.
Unless you want to take your odds with the tiefling lady.
No, see, my odds are leaning more towards the elemental because I vaguely recall, I think there's a magic item that revolves around an elemental being contained within a gem.
That's true.
That's where I think that's the logic I'm using. It's probably flawed. I will clearly admit that it's basically a guess based on what little the information he was able to collect.
You can ask Fred upstairs.
Well, we have to get past these guys before we can go talk to Fred.
And we can just shout out and say, hey, Fred, you know.
We're getting him.
Tried that.
Yeah, call Fred. See what happens. I'm okay with that.
Hey, Fred. Yoo-hoo. Anybody home?
Okay. Doesn't sound like he's going to help.
Okay.
Or you hear a voice that says, your friends are very interesting.
Clearly.
Offer Punk ultimate power and see what happens.
Not going to happen.
Right.
Will not exist.
How hard is obsidian? Is this something Meepo could dig through?
It's a rock.
Okay.
It's carvable. It's chippable.
Okay. Because I'm wondering, like, okay, if Meepo is used to digging tunnels, cobalt wood, if she tapped on one of them, would it sound different like it had a gem in it?
If it were...
That's interesting. I would say give me an investigation check.
Okay, so roll 20. And I got a 10, and investigation is a plus 2.
They all sound the same.
Oh.
Can I try the same thing?
Sure.
Do they all have a gem? Hmm.
That's a good question. They could. Although I think Fred said one of them has the gem.
He said one.
15.
Is he telling us the truth?
He hasn't really lied to us yet.
Okay.
He did kind of lie to us downstairs.
But that was a trick. I don't think he's necessarily tricking here.
Got a 15. Any? I tap it with the can opener. What's it sound like?
It sounds like your can opener is missing a very specific patina.
Okay. So I was thinking you meant like part of it was broken off or something. No. I got the whole, it's, you know, it's oxidized or whatever. Okay.
Yeah, it's oxidation. It's like what's rust? Happening to Fenix's copper hilt of his longsword, because copper oxidizes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So okay, that's changing rust. Colors too.
That's fine.
The rest would turn red, and this would turn as a patina, kind of. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, the can opener is made of iron, so that is turning reddish. The patina on Fenix's longsword, because it's copper, is turning greenish.
Okay.
So patina doesn't refer to the color; it just refers to the pattern.
Okay.
But never mind about that.
Yeah, I was going to say enough chemistry talk.
You can tell some differences, but your best guess is the differences you're hearing is because each statue is a slightly different thickness based on what it's carved. Like the misproportioned man is much thicker, so you're going to get a different sound.
Yeah. All right. Punk is starting to be getting itchy. Like, okay, let's smash something.
Does anyone disagree with Punk's choice of the misshapen man?
I'll go with fire element.
Back up all the way to the door we just came into.
I'll go with elemental. That's fine. Yeah.
It's not a wrong choice. It's I don't know how we're going to get inside any of them to break them, and the misshapen man seems to be potentially the easiest one to break. So, but
no, I'm not disagreeing with your choices. I've already lost a longbow and almost died, so I'm staying all the way back over here.
And just so you know, this room is also 50 feet in diameter, so if you're all the way back there, it's going to take you two turns to make it back if you need to run across the room.
Yeah. I'm 30 feet away from the furthest statue, then.
Okay.
Ari will stand with Fenix.
And Nipo will join them.
If Ponk can push it on his own, I say, let's do that. If Fenix wants to stay up there to help, maybe he can jump up and grab its neck and try to pull while Punk pushes, or we could use a rope. Either way.
What do you want to do, Fenix?
The craziest thing.
All right. So why don't you grab jump. One of the arms and like I'll get behind it and kick it. And you want to help pull it down?
Okay. Punk is going to get behind it and get on his hands and knees, and then Fenix will push it over Punk.
No. Remember, I'm crawling up, and I'm going to keep my back against the wall, and I'm going to push it forward with my legs.
Okay. That's going to be a strength check.
I'm all ready for it.
Me too.
23, including a natural 20.
Roll again.
Okay. That's a 7.
It doesn't budge, but you've used up your disadvantage jar.
Okay. Can I try it again then?
Not right now.
Okay.
You feel like you've expended your ability to push against this thing with your legs.
All right.
Need a brief rest.
Stop with the swearing.
Says you.
I haven't swore.
Yeah, the only reason he lost his advantage is because he used it.
Yeah, I used it.
Next, do you want to try pulling it down?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Strength check.
Why not give him guidance on it?
Okay, Oban gives him guidance. So roll a d20 and a d4. Then add your strength.
24.
You put a foot up against this thing's chest and grab onto the elbow of the arm that's raised up, and you pull, and nothing happens. And you pull some more, and nothing happens. And you put your other foot up on top of the chest and push off. And physics says that shouldn't do anything, but it does something. You're able to pull, and it moves. Give me a dex save.
14.
You are able to get out of the way as this thing comes crashing down. Otherwise, you would have taken a decent amount of damage. This thing is huge. And it hits the ground, and there is a vibration that goes through the entire room. Everyone that moved 30 feet away just feels the ground shake under your feet. The pillars wiggle a little bit. Some little bits of detritus come down from the ceiling. A few panicked spiders fall and scurry off.
What's the statue doing?
Fenix?
Yes?
I would like you to roll a perception check.
12.
The statue takes a swing at you, and I rolled a natural 20.
Oh, no.
You're not going to like this. Matter of fact, I don't have enough dice out.
Uh-oh.
So, give me a second here. To be fair, the die that are being used are D6s.
That's still a lot of damage.
It's the first time I got hit.
Yeah, how many hit points really do you have? Yeah.
48.
No, you don't. That is 32 points of damage.
Oh, my God. No. I'm at 16.
Hey, crit. Double. Yeah.
32 points of slashing damage.
Ouch.
Is what it did to you. I think it is time for everyone to roll initiative.
I think it's time to get mega cure wounds on me.
Okay.
19.
I rolled a 2.
Rolled a 5.
9. 15.
Obame's going first. I think it's safe to say he's going to cast a healing spell. He is going to cast at a second level. You are healed for 20 points. So you're not up to full, but you're much better than you were.
36 is pretty good.
Okay, it's your turn. As Obame is casting this, and you're looking at this statue that took a swing at you, it is slowly changing color. It is no longer black. You are seeing the hair turn to a fiery red. The skin is turning into a brown. The armor is still very black, but it is acquiring a sheen that looks like it's forged metal. Matter of fact, it looks like this thing has come alive, quite literally. But it's your turn. What would you like to do?
I want to attack this thing for what it did to me. Does a 9 hit?
I'm sorry, I just love the way you asked that. No, a 9 does unfortunately not hit.
Yeah, it was a 10, but I rolled a 1 plus 10. Plus 9.
Oh, you rolled a 1?
Yeah, plus 9.
Give me a dex save, or dex check, rather.
20.
Okay, you're fine. I was so set up for you to do damage to this thing, but oh well. Moving on, Vex, it's your turn.
Okay, I'm going to run up to it and take two swings with a scimitar. It's already gone, hasn't it? On the initiative order?
Yeah.
It got a surprise hit on Fenix. So technically it has gone already.
Oh, Obane's back.
First is a 10.
It slides off of the armor. You leave a scratch.
That's better. Second is a 18.
You manage to slide in between a few of the plates. Give me some damage.
9 points of slashing, and as a bonus action, I'd like to pull something out of the bag of tricks.
Obame's coming back.
Wonderful. Considering he's at the top of the initiative and we're only at third person in the initiative, he should be all set up by the time it's his turn. Okay, so what are you pulling out of the bag of tricks?
I'm pulling out a brown bear.
Trinket appears.
Trinket!
Whenever he gets in a fix, he reaches into his bag of tricks. And I'm going to have the brown bear going on your initiative turn. So it'll strike next time you're up.
Okay.
Since it's not a hunter pet, it doesn't get its own initiative.
Nope.
But Shepard does, and it's his turn.
Oh, Vunderbar. He's going to come running up and stand next to me and take a bite. 25 to hit.
Yep.
Like I said, this dog is better than the ranger.
To be fair, the ranger doesn't have his bow.
No, he does not. 12 points of piercing damage. Can it be knocked prone?
We can try. What's the DC for that again?
DC 12.
Considering how my rolls have been tonight, that's a nat 20. I think this die only rolls 20s and 1s. Okay, it is the big guy's turn. He is going to swing at the brown bear. What's the brown bear's AC?
11.
That's a hit. Does 28 points of damage kill it?
No.
Almost.
Almost. But no.
And it's also going to take a swing at Vex. Does an 18 hit?
Yes.
You take 18 points of damage.
Okay.
What are you at now?
20.
All right. Meepo.
Okay. how close... Okay. How close
You're 30
are
feet away.
I'm 30 feet away. Is anyone close... How close is any member of our party to the big guy?
All of your non-ranged party members.
Vex,
so Ponk and
Vex. Vex, Shepard, Fennec, and Ponk.
Yeah.
Right?
They're like right next to him.
Yeah.
Okay.
You, only you and me are back here.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Obeyme is a little bit further away from them, but he ran forward to heal.
Yeah. Okay. So they're all in the same area. So area effect spells out of the picture.
Okay. Gonna use magic missile.
Okay.
So I think those hit directly, right?
They do.
Yeah, they hit automatically. Okay. So 3d4 plus 3.
Okay, 3d4.
And then add 3.
Okay.
You could roll 1d4 3 times and add 1d4.
Yeah, I'm going to do that one. Okay, I've got a 4.
So that's 5.
And a 1.
So that's 7.
And a 4.
So that's...
12.
Yeah, there we go. How about I put the damage on the big guy and not Meepo?
Oh, that would be better. Yes.
Yes. You did not hit yourself with a magic missile.
No. She knows better than that.
Punk, would you like to rage?
Of course I will. Okay, question for you. This dude, is his back turned to me now?
Currently, yes.
Okay.
I'm going to assume that you didn't really move very far from your position where you were standing behind it.
Right. So I'm still up on the pedestal. Or that alcove or
whatever? There was no pedestal or alcove. It was just standing near the wall.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But you are behind it, and you are between it and the wall.
Okay. He is holding his sword up in his arm, like his arm is raised with the sword?
Well, he's been swinging it at things.
All right. I'm going to slash at one of his Achilles then with the scimitar.
You can reach up to get that.
13.
A 13 slides right off the armor covering the heel.
Okay. I would like to use my reaction to change that to a 17.
Yay.
Still doesn't hit.
Oh, really?
All right. Wait a minute. Is that 17 without modifiers?
That would become the 17 without modifier. It turns his die roll into what number I have on
So what's your modifier?
Score, are you plus 6 or 7 to hit?
Plus 7 to hit.
Okay, so that would turn it to a 24.
Then that does hit.
Okay, cool. All right, so I'm going to roll the damage on that one first.
You did.
So
I'm out of
those. Aren't you glad you didn't use that on me?
Yeah. Well, now I'm out of them, so I only get 2 a day, and that's it.
ten damage?
10 damage. Noted.
And then I would like to slash at it again with the scimitar, since I'm raging. 22.
That is a hit. without Ari's help.
Yeah.
9 damage.
A respectable 9.
Thank you, Ari.
That's what he's here to do. But he's done that twice now. He's done for the day.
But if you're done for the day, then what will you do during your turn, which is now?
Oh, well, that was my reaction since it was on Pong's turn. So, the creature no longer looks like it's made of stone, or does it? Okay.
It looks flesh and blood, except for the armor, which is obviously made of some type of metal.
And it's a humanoid?
In the sense that it has two arms and two legs and a head, yes.
And it takes two additional damage.
But it is not a humanoid according. It's not a humanoid according to Dungeons and Dragons rules.
Oh.
All right. Well, we're going to see if it likes acid damage. I'm going to bet no, but we're going to try that anyway.
Okay. While you're rolling that, Vex, I'd like you to roll a nature check.
Yes, dear.
So that is an 18 on the die, plus 7 for 25.
That's a hit.
Okay. So this is 4d4.
15, by the way.
You've never seen one of these before, but you recognize it as a giant. And based on the fiery red hair and the fact that it's wearing full plate mail, you assume that it's probably a fire giant.
Wonderful.
10 damage of acid.
Okay, you're going to have to remind me when it's its turn how much damage it's taking again.
Okay.
So I remember that's a thing.
Well, it's on my turn, actually.
Oh.
So I remember.
Okay. Remember that it gets extra acid damage.
Yep, I will.
Okay. He's not liking that you have removed the patina from his own armor.
Yeah.
The word of the day is patina. Say it with me, everyone.
Patina!
Patina!
Oh.
Spatula?
Obame, so glad to see you. It is, in fact, your turn.
All right, I need damage checks.
I have used a couple of your spell slots because they were sorely needed.
Are they the same as what on the paper? So 2 first level, 1/3?
Probably.
Okay, very good.
Actually, I thought I cast one at second level. Hold on. Yeah, 2 first level and 1/3. That's what it says here.
That's what I'm looking at. Spell checks, guys. All right, damage checks. What do we got?
20 health.
35.
Logan, are you back? Are you Logan? You back up, Logan?
Yeah, I'm at 36. You heal me.
Okay. Let's go ahead and how close am I to Vex?
You ran up to be within 5 feet of them to heal Fenix when he took over 30 points of damage from a crit.
I'm in melee, so I don't have a longbow right now. It's gone, so I'm in melee.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and cast Cure Wounds on Vex. 17 damage for 17 hit healing back to Vex.
Okay, so you do 17 points of damage to Vex. He now has 3.
I now have 3 health. Thank you.
And then I'm going to go ahead and hit Vex. Ari, you good?
Wait, you're going to hit Vex?
No, I'm sorry. I heal Vex. What are you at right now? For my bonus action, I'm going to use mass healing points.
Mass healing word.
Most of the party hasn't taken a lot of damage. It's mostly been Fenix and Vex that have absorbed all of it.
And my brown bear, who's at 6 health.
Well, yeah.
Her little trinket.
Okay, I'm going to use as a bonus action, I'm going to use second level healing word on the bear.
Oh, and trinket.
Roll healing.
12.
Nice.
Going to change Trinket's name to Meat Shield. Fenix.
I'm going to attack this thing and actually hit it. 20, not crit.
20 will hit.
14 damage.
All right. Vex.
Knowing that this thing's meaty now, I'm going to do Hunter's Mark as my bonus action and take 2 swings at it.
Okay.
First one's 18.
That's a hit.
9 points of slashing damage for the first. Second is a 17.
A 17 is not a hit.
Misses, okay. Shepherd's going to take his extra attack for being in range. And that's a natural 20.
Yay. So Shepard does a leap, jumps off of this thing's knee, jumps off of the inside of its elbow on its offhand, then manages to bite this guy in the face.
19 points of piercing.
19 points in the face.
That's a great hit.
That's the puppy. And then the brown bear is going to take his multi-attack. First the bite.
Oh, by the way, it's bloodied now.
19.
That's a hit.
12 points of piercing. 18. Vex can't hit. All of his pets can.
You provide a valuable service, and that is our furry companions.
That is an army of animals.
And Shepard gets to go again because it's now his turn.
Hold on. The claw attack from the brown bear did 3-7 slashing. Shepard's turn?
Yes. Eventually, other people will get to play. Trust me.
I know.
At least
I'm
they're all
sorry.
Grouped together.
17
that
plus
actually
6
makes it worse.
Is 23.
23 is a hit.
And that is 10 points of piercing and strength saving throw, which he didn't do last time either. And Shepard got his extra attack.
All right. He makes it.
Cool.
He's a giant. He's got a plus 7 for his strength rolls.
I know, but he's got to try, the little guy.
I know. You never know. I might roll a 1.
I'm betting with his misshapen form, he's probably got a horrible dex.
Yeah, it's a minus 1.
There you go.
It's a 9 dexterity, so minus 1.
Yeah.
And that's Vex and Shepard. And the brown bear.
Okay, now it is the fire giant's turn. And it is going to go after the things that are doing the most damage to it. Bear. That is a natural 1. There is now a hole in the floor. It is not big enough for you to fall through, but you can see through it. Shepard. Because it bit him in the face.
Twice?
Technically, yeah. That is... The good news is I rolled a 9. The
Shepard
bad news
is 16.
He has plus 11 to hit.
Oh, jeez.
He's a giant. They're big, they're strong, and sometimes they're stupid looking.
And fire giants are skilled tacticians. So, yeah. Time to roll damage. Obeim, you might need to do some healing very soon.
Not an issue. I have Revivify on standby.
Okay, because that's 25 points of damage.
Shepard's unconscious.
He ain't dead yet.
Shepard's unconscious. You don't have a diamond for Revivify, though.
You don't need a diamond for Revivify. You need... I thought you only needed 300 gold or some components worth 300 gold.
You need a diamond worth 300 gold.
I have a diamond. It's in the Titec key. Ooh.
Yeah, she found that when you were fighting the carrion crawler.
Yep.
Back underneath Oregano.
I love you.
Well, he's not. He hasn't even taken his first death save, so.
No, it's coming up. No.
Meepo's turn.
Okay. I think I'm going to do magic missile one more time.
Okay.
Okay, so I have a 4.
That's 5.
And a 1.
That's 7.
And that one bounced off of something. Okay, and a 3.
Okay, so that's 11. Because we're adding plus 1 to each of those.
Mm-hmm.
You kill it!
Yay! Good job, Meepo.
I
was actually not thinking that that blow was going to kill because I wasn't looking at the fire giant's hit points, and the app just said, "Oh, by the way, it's dead now."
Yay! Does it have the shiny?
Okay, so as you kill this very much alive, well, not anymore, but you get the idea, giant. As it dies, it immediately turns back into obsidian and crumbles. And in the pile of rubble, you see another sapphire.
Yay!
All right.
We got a shiny.
Heal the dog, 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 heal the dog.
Priorities.
Yeah, cast a second level cure wounds on it. 10 hit points.
Oh, honey.
Okay. Well, at this point, it is after 9:30. So I think it's going to be one more evening before you get to the top of this tower.
I want to kill Fred.
I got three words for you. Get in line.
Fred's middle name is Bill.
Meepo's going to pick up the shiny so we don't lose.
Yeah. And Punk would like to just call out to Fred one more time and make a vulgar gesture towards him. Fred, eat this.
The other three statues come alive and attack you.
Fine.
No.
Bring it. Bring it.
I used my wagon ability.
You already destroyed the wagon. It was a mimic.
Dang it!
That was fun. Thank you.
That was really fun.
Thank you.
Where's mending?
You can't mend a mimic.
You are listening to Words of Jen, where I read to you one piece of my writing in each and every episode. Bookofjen.net.